Amen. Amen. Well, I usually say a verse or say a chapter when I'm coming up here. I'm going to be something unique today. I'm going to go into several different verses of Scripture. I don't usually do that, but I need a verse, or at least a starting off point. So Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. It all connects. Kind of hard to just jump in somewhere. Amen? It all connects. But we'll just grab a verse and see what we can do. Philippians chapter 3. See if you can find it. Not the chapter, but what I'm going to do. Chapter 3. We there? This is why it's tough to just find a verse or to open up somewhere. That's why I like the studies. The Wednesday nights and the Sunday nights, we're just going verse by verse, and I try and at least make it a thought or a message. Because chapter 3 starts out, finally. So you know what I'm saying? Finally, I got to back up. Finally from what? And then if I back up to chapter 1, I got to go to the preceding epistles, and then it's in the Gospels, and before you know it, I'm back in Genesis, and it's going to take a long service. So we're just going to dive in here, okay? The water's good, all right? Chapter 3, Philippians, see if you can find it. Paul says, writing from jail, if that's not enough, what you need, Dan? What did I do? Okay. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit. Sounds like they were having problems then. Right? None of us are immune from it. No time in history is immune from it. For we are the circumcision. See, Paul's encouraging them. This is who we are. And that's not in the flesh, it's in the heart. Which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. And then he gives his resume. Circumcised the 8th day. Of the stock of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, is touching the law, the Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss, for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. Quite an opposition to how most folks live today, huh? And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. And that's, what was it last Sunday or the Sunday before we were looking at have faith in God. Faith is everything to us, should be. Verse 10, that I may know him, Paul said, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. We want a different route. We want a different way. Paul's asking to know him and his resurrection means I'm going to have to suffer. He said in verse 11, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, that not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded, And if anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an ensample. He's writing from prison. Trust in God with everything he has. Verse 18, for many walk of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. For our conversation is in heaven. You wouldn't know that nowadays, would you? Looking at some people's social media posts that are Christians. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able. What a phrase, isn't it? Even. He's able, even. I mean, like he hasn't done enough already. You know, it's, let's not get too excited about this. I mean, with all that's going on, he says he is able, even. Can you believe that? I mean, even. I mean, he's able, but I mean, he's able, even. You get how that says that? He's able even to subdue all things unto himself. It's not like the Christians have cornered the market on this thing. And, you know, just, God can do just this little bit, but not all of this little bit. He's able even, oh boy, to subdue some things. Oh boy, it's going to be a bad day. He is able even to subdue all things unto himself. That's encouraging. I don't know if that helps anybody else. That helps me. It's kind of like this. He's got it all under control. Father, we'd ask you to help us today. I plead. Don't want to make a lengthy prayer request. Haven't studied prayer. We just ask you to help us today. We know, as Paul said, we should know. As Paul said, we should be confident in your abilities. So help us today as children, Lord. Nothing more discouraging than a child looking at his parents and not believing. A child ought to look at his dad and think he can conquer the world. And Lord, us as children should have a faith and trust in you that you're in your abilities. So help us this morning, I plead, Lord. So many things you're able to do and you're willing to do. I just don't know sometimes if we're believing that you can. So help us, I plead this morning. Save somebody, touch somebody, help somebody, move on somebody. Do something here this morning, Lord, that'll last for years, for years. Lord, we don't need to see it, but it'd be nice. So help us, I plead. Lord, we got to get help for ourselves before we can help young people that'll come Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. Help us to have a belief that when they come, they can see that. Thank you for the local church, the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit, and the eternal Word of God. We ask you all these things in Christ's name we pray. Amen. I have a very simple thought. I say that all the time. I have a very simple thought this morning, but with what I believe powerful implications. If we completely understand it. I realize I've been lengthy in recent days, so I'm going to desperately try to just share a simple thought. Again, I start out, Ryan, and I just write a few things down on a piece of paper, and a few things on a piece of paper turns into a Word document, and a Word document starts out with 3 pages, turns into 14 pages, and it's a trouble, isn't it, preacher? It grows because there's so much we ought to say. And there's a lot we ought to hear. And then there's so much more we ought to heed. So that being said, I don't know if it's just a stage, or it's just age, rather, or my stage in life as a believer, that many times, for me, I try not to start out the week with, what am I going to preach on Sunday? I really try and start out the week for me with a verse, something to meditate on. I don't know if we understand what meditation is now. Just understanding the Word of God. You're supposed to read it, but there's times you're just supposed to meditate on it. You're just supposed to chew on it, if I could say it like that. And so I don't know if it's just age or my stage in life as a believer that many times at the beginning of the week I'll get a verse in my head. Once it is in my head, I'll look it up to make sure I'm memorizing or remembering the right verse. I think we've discussed this in recent days. Jacob had to set us straight. Be careful for nothing, but in all things. No, was that the one? What was the verse? Was that it? Be careful. No, it was another verse, wasn't it? Yeah, men ought always to pray and not to faint. And I kept saying, and faint not. And words mean something, and the placement of those words means something. And it's not for me to shuffle the order of those words. And so I look it up a lot of times when I get a verse of Scripture. I remember when I was writing a book with another fella, and what was it? We were talking about finances. And, I can't even remember what that verse. I had it in my head. Oh, man, I lost it. It was a verse of Scripture, and I kept looking in the Strong's Concordance, and I couldn't find that. And it was just something that was just a phrase you pick up. Now I know what it is. Thank you, Lord. A fool and his money are soon parted. That's not a verse of Scripture. And I mean, you should have seen us looking through the Strong's and punching it in the computer. And there's things, if you're not careful, that the world says. And there's so many translations out there now. I watch people with good intentions copy-paste a verse and put it in their social media thread. And I'll read it and I'll go, that ain't what that says. And we're very lackadaisical in that. It's either the Word of God or it isn't the Word of God. And so I looked up that phrase that was in my head, and when I did, I found some encouraging things. I wanted to start another word Sunday night, and I looked up joy. I'm going to tell you what. Look up all the phrases for joy, and joyous, and joyful, and then come into church and frown. You can't. Because the Word of God tells us all the things that we can be. And the joy, and I'm not preaching Sunday night's message, the joy of the Lord is what? Our strength. And you know why the church doesn't have strength anymore? Because they don't understand where real joy comes from. It's not from an interest rate. It's not from a money market. It's not from a 401k. It's not from a new job. It's from the Lord. And that's why we struggle. So I want to look at all the phrases or the verses around it. And I looked up the phrase and found some encouraging things. I'd just like to share them with you this morning. Many times in life, if not careful and recognizing our frailty, we can get caught up with the flow of society, can't we? Okay, two people grunted. I guess I'm the only one this morning that gets caught up with society. And what I mean by that to the believer, we can become carnally minded. The New Testament doesn't use the word backslid. It's carnal, after the flesh. We're either going after the flesh or we're seeking after the Spirit. And I could divulge into that a little bit. That is thinking after the things of the flesh and not the Spirit. And that comes in, can I say this? It comes in many shapes and sizes. And what a day for that to be taking place that we're currently in. And honestly, you don't even have to go looking for it. You don't have to set out on a weekday and say, well, I'm going to go after the flesh today. You have to die to self and purposely say, I'm going seeking after the Spirit. That's why it's important to do it in the Scriptures. And it's important to do it for many of us. Notice the pronouns I'm using. For many of us, this might be the most spiritual day of the week. Because we're in the Scriptures, we're surrounding ourselves with certain people. It's helping us, it's motivating us to be more spiritually minded. Now be careful with this, because if you're the one that doesn't enjoy that and want to repeat that, then you have to ask yourself, why not? And why is it that when we're gathered together, I want to seek something else? And it is a battle. I remember this poem from years ago. I read it in a book, Two Natures Beat Within My Chest. The one is evil. I thought that was the mass fixing to go over. Two natures beat within my chest. The one is evil, the other blessed. The one I love, the one I hate, the one I feed. The one I feed will dominate. And I'm afraid too many of us feed the flesh and it dominates rather than feeding the spirit. It's the proverbial eat your vegetables. I was watching my, this is what happens with me. It's just a simple thought and I just start chasing everything. I was watching, I won't say which one, whether it was Cook's or Lovett's. I was watching them the other day. Man, just a beautiful plate of food. I mean, if you watch Tina, she puts fruits, she puts veggies, she puts protein. She puts that plate together and, oh, I just gave it away, didn't I? I don't know if it was the Lovett's or the Cook's, but one of my children, they just really doll up a plate real good. And I was watching them, and those little crumb snatchers, they were, and it was, and I heard them in unison, oh, I can't, I'm just full. And then the introduction of sweets. Isn't it amazing how just by the mirror, you don't even have to mention it, just set something on the counter somewhere within eyesight. And what does a child do? Wondering if they're going to be able to get that. And all of a sudden, miraculously, they have plenty of room. No, I can't. I'm able to do that. And you know, we laugh at a child when it does it, but spiritually speaking, we as adults do the same thing. I'm telling you what, preacher's just, it's just too many vegetables. I need to go find one of them black ceiling churches that just serves what's that thing? Just serves cotton candy, man. And so, if we're not careful, we'll chase after the flesh rather than the spirit. And you have to determine to chase after the spirit. And we have a helper to do that inside. And so what a day for that to be taking place, and we see it. I mean, how many times do we see people that have run a race for a while, all of a sudden they're not running anymore? And I'm not going to condemn anybody. I'm going to share heaven with a lot of people. But it's amazing how quickly we can chase after things. And I think the very nature of that is because we begin to see them as much greater and bigger than Him. And what you chase after will be determined on which one's bigger. Trying to lay a foundation. Honestly, you don't even have to, as I said, go looking for it. It'll hit you right in the face. Satan in this world system does everything it can to take our focus from God and His, can I use this word, His ability. His ability. I recently preached on the topic, have faith in God. This world does everything to the child of God to take their faith in and off of God. Even the best of Christians, if not careful, can soon lose faith and believe the lie. For the children of Israel, we find this transpiring. All you have to do is read the Old Testament. Over and over again, they are tasked with trying to see God in troublesome times. Yet, we as well see it with individuals as well. So it's not just collectively as a nation. It takes place individually as well in Scripture with people. Abraham. I mean, Abraham's got an altar, he's doing okay with God, and all of a sudden he goes to Egypt, forgets the altars. Because Egypt didn't have altars to God. You have to, what was it Brother O'Malley said one time? We're pilgrims, and we have to be people, spiritual people in a place that doesn't, this world is not conducive to spirituality. We have to be different than that. We have to show that it can be done, and I'm afraid we're failing many times. Abraham, Joseph, Moses, all individuals versus the nation. The reason our nation's in the shape is in because of the individuals, the shape that they're in. Amen. I got to get my aim button out, I guess, this morning. And I haven't even attacked anybody yet. I mean, everybody should be just saying amen, right, Miss Paula? I mean, amen. Oh, it will happen to them. It will happen to us. Abraham is challenged at the bottom of Mount Moriah to the top. All the way up, he's probably thinking, is God able to do this? God asked me to sacrifice my son, my only son. Is God able to? How's that go? God will provide himself, he tells Abraham. Can God do that? And Abraham's questioning. I'm sure he questioned it. He's walking up the whole mountain questioning it. And then he gets to the top, and guess what? He sees how able God is. After much time, we see with Abraham, and then we see with Moses. Moses is the same. He's asked by God to do a great task. We preached on that not too long ago. And God showed him what he could do with a bush. He showed him what he could do with soil that he was on. Remember we were talking about that? He took his staff and he demonstrated to him what he could do. He took Moses' hand and demonstrated his abilities. And Moses is sitting there saying, wow. And then he says to Moses, he says, now I want to do something with you. I can't speak right. Moses is just like Abraham, is just like us. He comes to a point where, can I fully trust in God's ability? I mean, look at the task he's asking me to do. He's asking me to go to Egypt and conquer a nation that is just, Egypt was a power at one time. And who's Moses? Yeah, he heard the stories as a little boy. We're a great nation. We're a wonderful people. Yeah, but we're in subjugation to Egypt. And we're in cattle bondage. And you want me to go get us out of that? Seemed like he lacked a faith in the ability of God, didn't he? But then after much time, and God attacks through Moses 10 of the gods that the Egyptians worshipped, those 10 plagues. Now all of a sudden I think he had already convinced Moses, but now he's convincing the rest of that crowd. Then they leave. Of course, you're always going to have somebody in that crowd that says, well, he can't. You're always going to have somebody in that crowd that says he can't. And then they get to the Red Sea, and they're in peril, and then they're saying, yeah, look, you brought us out here just to die. I wonder how many pastors hear that sometimes when they try and lead their congregation by faith. Can you imagine if instead of building a little cardboard one here, God commissioned us to build a boat out there? You say, that'd be crazy. Oh, really? It wasn't that crazy in Genesis. I'm sure they were mocking him down at the mercantile when he was coming down to get 8 penny nails or get a new hammer or whatever he was getting, or boards or gopher, whatever was taking place. They mocked him, but he preached righteousness for 120 years. But I'm going to tell you what, when the rain started coming down and the earth started giving up, they were thinking different. And you could probably, if you could find a board, you'd probably find some nail marks in those gopher wood boards. I'm not talking about nails you hammer. I'm talking about nails that were scratching the side of it. Because now they really trusted and saw in the ability of God. Moses is at the Red Sea, proclaiming to a nation, Exodus 14, verse 13, and Moses said unto the people, fear ye not. This is the same guy at the bush. Look at how much he's grown. This is the same guy at the bush, John, that was sitting there saying, I can't. Now he's watched God's ability. He was even intimidated by Egypt. Now he's watched God's hand, his ability to turn. Watch this, the river Nile, blood red. The plagues and the locusts and all the frogs and everything that's taking place. All of a sudden Moses said, wow. Now watch this. He lived in that situation for how many years? 40? 40 years he watched Pharaoh be powerful. 40 years on the backside of the wilderness. And then right there at that bush, all of a sudden he begins the journey to trust God. Now he gets at the edge of the Red Sea and he proclaims, and Moses said unto the people, fear ye not. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. They won't have one of them Discovery Channels where they show you chariot wheels at the bottom of the Red Sea today. They're there. They won't show you all that kind of stuff, because if it did, it would put facts to the faith and show us that there was really a Red Sea crossing and God really did part that sea. It didn't dry up. He had come to trust and have confidence in God's ability and was now calling on all of Israel to see and trust in God's ability. Was it challenged after that? Sure it was. And so on ours. Do you know, preacher, sometimes I can have these mountaintop moments where I'm like, man, mountaintop moments, man, where it's like, just like, was it, what was his name? Help me, the prophet Elijah. I mean, 64 words, man, 64 words, and fire falls down from the sky. And watch this. He had those Baal prophets go get them barrels full of water. He got them to go get that. We can't get our family to follow us sometimes. He get the, then they pour it on the 64 words. Fire. Next thing you know, old Jezebel said something, and he's running for his life. Just right up here 1 minute in God's ability, and right down here in the next. We're just like that. So was Moses' trust in God's ability challenged? Sure it was. Sadly, though, we as believers are living in one of the most discouraging days to see the level, or rather lack of faith in those that say they trust the Lord. So as my week started out and I had that verse or phrase in my head, I looked it up again, or I looked it up to gain some strength for myself. It's the proverbial, I need to put the oxygen mask on as a leader in the church so that I can help somebody else. It's where a lot of churches fail. The pastor don't have enough faith to believe that God's able. If he don't, if dad don't, guess what? The family won't. Well, I don't know what we're going to do this month. Need a new car. I'm going to go down and see if I can get 8 years of payments. What a sad day we're in. So I looked up this phrase that I had in my mind and wanted to see what was wrapped around it. And that phrase and that verse that could aid me in seeing, is God able? Can I just say this, and I'm not political. It's scary to watch what's taking place right now. It's scary. I mean, you don't have to be a conspiracy theorist to realize there was an attempted assassination on a candidate for presidency of this republic. And it's like, and social media will just spin it whatever way they want to spin it, and the average imbecile that sits at home and watches that stuff through his cell phone swallows it hook, line, and sinker. And the average Christian that won't seek after the things of the Spirit curls up in his foxhole and says, oh my goodness, what am I going to do? 4 times in Scripture we find the phrase, he is able. And we recognize that all 4 of those times are by the Apostle Paul, which I thought was unique. And now that doesn't mean his ability is not found, his meaning the Lord's ability is not found all throughout Scripture and recorded and testified of by many throughout Scripture. It merely suggests that Paul had his way of saying it to the crowd he was writing to. Let me ask this before we move further. How is it that you articulate God's ability? Or do you? Do people around you see a God that is able? Or is he just this anemic God that really can't do much of anything, and we're just blindly trusting in something, we just hope something's going to get better? I'm afraid that's who we are today. Do people that are around us on a day-to-day basis see us articulate the ability that God has? Do the young people in our church, and we started talking about prayer on Wednesday night, do the young people at our church hear the aged people of our church articulate God's ability to answer a prayer request that they mention? Or is it just to throw it out there, hope so, I'm just doing it to tick a box that I have a prayer request? Y'all are not staying with me. Staying with me means amen. We don't say amen because we're from the South. We say amen because we agree with Scripture. There's no greater hour in our world for the world to see and hear from us as believers God's great ability. No other passage of Scripture speaks louder to this end than that of Daniel 3. And I could make so many comparisons. In the day of Daniel, the eunuchs. We have a medical general that's a eunuch in our country. This country is building statues for us to worship. If it's not sports figures, it's stadiums. Or it's events. Have we not seen the days of Daniel in the Paris Olympics? Coming in on a horse. Oh, there's so much symbolism that's taking place. Why? Because those people want that. They're moving towards that end. And we, people of faith, and I'm not saying to be a person of faith, you attack it. I'm saying you let your light shine. You show people, and you demonstrate it in your life and the abilities of God. It's the two boys on the playground. My daddy can beat your daddy up. They're not going to fight. They do. They might wrestle. They look. They think they're fighting. And then two teachers come up and pick them up by the seat of their britches and carry them to the principal's office. But it's my daddy can beat your daddy. And the problem with most Christians today is we don't believe our father can beat somebody else's father. So we just cower up in the corner. Nebuchadnezzar chapter 3, the king made an image of gold whose height was 60 cubits and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Seems like we hear of Babylon in Revelation. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, sent to gather together the princes, the governors, the captains, all the politicians, the judges. Aren't they trying to, one of them's wanting to change how long you sit on the Supreme Court? Boy, we just don't apply our Bible to today. The treasurers, how they can change the market. You see who's in control here in their day? All the players are in control in Daniel's day. Captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors. They've come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Then the princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors. Here we have our enforcement now, the sheriffs. It's amazing how many law enforcement departments will try and defend a corrupt council or a mayor or politician and take away our rights of assembly. There's so much I could say. And you know what we do? We just cower in the corner. Sheriffs and all the rulers of the provinces were gathered together under the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar, if they'll have a Paris assembly for the Olympics, don't think it's not soon behind they're going to have an image that everybody worships. We don't like to hear that. You know why? Because we just don't believe the book. Then an herald cried aloud, "To you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harpet, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music." You see that celebration. What's that? We've just gotten so used to it, we don't make comparisons. The dropping of the ball for New Year's Day. Look at how many people across the world, and there's music playing in the background. That little ball that drops can soon be changed into an image. And how quick do you think everybody else will worship that? Or we could just go back a few years and how quick it was to slap a diaper on your face. Preacher, you're being too hard. No, I just don't know if we really believe. Verse 6, "And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth shall the same hour be cast in the midst of a burning fiery furnace. Therefore, at that time when all the people heard the sound of the cornet, the flute," it's time, everybody. You hear it? The cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, and all kinds of music. "All the people, the nations, and the languages fell down, worshipped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Wherefore, at that time, certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. They spake and said to the king, Nebuchadnezzar, their church is still open. I'm sorry. O king, live forever." You didn't catch that, did you? "Thou, O king, has made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music." Why are you not following everybody else? Because there's these children that realized the power wasn't in that statue they were worshiping. The power was in a person. And it wasn't a political leader. Nebuchadnezzar spake. Verse 13. Then Nebuchadnezzar in his rage and fury commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, is it true? O Shadrach, Meshach. And I believe he asked him just like Pilate did Jesus. Because he saw characters and qualities in those three. And we will be challenged as well. But will they see the same characters and qualities in us that they saw in them? Because most of us, when we're challenged in our faith, when I think about it, I pray over my food. And we cower down in a corner because why? Because the pressure. Don't tell me teens. Teens just don't know how to figure out this peer pressure in school. The teens got more backbone than parents. Hey, man, this is going over really good this morning. Is it true? He asked them, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? I'm giving you a chance here. Now, if ye be ready, he's telling them, okay, I'm going to give you another chance. Now, if ye be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made. He said, well, but if you worship not, I'm giving you a second chance. You should be cast the same hour in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And who is that God? He's challenging him now. He's challenging him. And who is that God? I mean, really, can all of us be wrong? Look at how many people are worshiping this image. Come on, you three. Get with the program. And who is this, that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said unto the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, if you continue on your course, if it be so that you're requiring us to do this, our God, whom we serve, he's able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Boy, what a difference. What a contrast today. We see all these little memes nowadays of men in the day when they, watch this, men, what was it I saw the other day? Men during World War II, and I'm watching a World War II documentary right now. Men during World War II would lie about their age to fight a war. Men today lie about their sex to compete in women's sports. But we are a sad people, man. What a sad day we're in. It's quite a convicting passage of scripture when we look at they were children. They called them children. And you turn a lion, man-eating lion loose in the average Baptist church and you'll starve to death. When you put it in comparison and context today, those three had something that many lack today. They had a complete and total trust and assurance in God's ability. With that being said, I want to preach on this thought this morning. He is able. He's able. I looked at four passages of scripture that put it just like that. Before we get too far into it, can I ask this question? Is he? Is there something in your life right now that just seems absolutely insurmountable? And you are standing at the Red Sea, if you will. It just seems like it's impossible that he can do something. You can just give up. You can go to the crowd that just gave up. There's a lot of people that already got to the Red Sea and turned around. Just got right there and just turned around. Just missed it all. And they'll welcome you. It's amazing how welcoming they are when you turn your back on God, how welcoming they are. Man, they'll find a new church and invite other people to it. Hey, here's a place you can go. We've trusted more in our abilities than God's, and you can just come over here and you can do it by the works of the flesh rather than the Spirit. Is he able? with whatever it is. I have things in my life, as all of us do, and I sit there sometimes, and can I say this? Maybe nobody else does it. Preacher, I say sometimes, God, you're just, I don't know if you can. It's just a lack of faith. It really is. That's why we need to see people of faith demonstrate their faith. That's why the Hebrews chapter 11 is so important to us. But yet we put these people that hold a basketball and a football on the walls of our children's homes instead of holding up heroes in Scripture. Moses endured seeing him who was invisible. Endured. Is he able to do what you need him to do in your life? We say that he is, but when he comes down to it, is he? So I want to look at four instances real quick that Paul made that statement and see if we can be encouraged by it as well. Now, these are in no particular order. I did take them in the order that the Bible was canonized, though. I don't know if that means anything, but I took them in that order. Paul covers it all for us to be strengthened by it for the hour we live in. First, that phrase is mentioned in Philippians 3 and verse 21, and we read that as an introduction to the message. Who shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself? Now that might not mean something to you and I, but these people were being persecuted and killed for their faith. And so they had this battle because it wasn't completely understood like we understand it today and take it for granted. And I spoke on that the other night. We just believe in cremation now. We're just going to burn a body. We don't believe it's planted in corruption and is reaped incorruptible. We don't believe that God can transform that at the twinkling of an eye at death, and we're passed from death unto life, so we just do what the rest of the world does. And here he is saying he is able, what? To subdue all things unto himself. They were living in a day of absolute persecution, trouble and trials and tribulations on every angle, and Paul's writing from jail, giving his testimony of faith in God. If it wasn't for me believing God, I wouldn't be in jail. He gives his resume. He would be exempt from it, if you will. But because of his faith in Christ, he's jailed, and he's trying to encourage the people that aren't in jail. I think of that man in Canada during COVID. Canada said you couldn't meet. And how many people just said, okay. If we are the hope, then how do we just shut doors? How do we just cave in? How do we just acquiesce to everything that this world throws at us? If I was a tribulation believer, how many do you think would make it through? And I'm not. It is the pre-tribulation rapture of the church, 1 Thessalonians 4 and 2 Thessalonians. But I'm going to tell you what, I don't know if we've got enough faith as a gnat squished on a windshield sometimes. And whatever they throw at us, we just take. Paul said he is able to subdue. No greater verse stressing God's ability for the hour than this. Paul stresses to those in Philippi in this chapter to beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision, and instructs them to press towards the mark. And then in verses 18 through 21, we've read them. He then says, for many walk of whom I have told you often and now tell you weeping, they are enemies of the cross of Christ. There are more people in churches today pulling our young people away from a faith than moving them towards a closer walk with God. The word subdue here means to put under subjection. We have, to our harm, lost the faith to believe he is able to make everything opposed to him submit to him. I know some of y'all probably squirrely don't know what I'm going to do for the election year, who I'm going to vote on. But I'm going to tell you what, when we by and large see so many people that are Christians and pastors pushing for a candidate instead of lifting up a Christ, I can't see it. Now watch this. And the same thing happens now, happened then. Here's Barabbas. Give us Barabbas. Barabbas is the better candidate for us to overthrow Rome than Christ is. And that's exactly where we're at today. Because we don't believe he's able to subdue. The word subdue here means to be put under subjection. Pilate said, are you a king? Jesus didn't need to argue with him. So says you. A king doesn't need to tell you he's a king. He's a king. Watch what he does. We don't believe he's a king anymore. We've lost the belief. Don't die on me now. We've lost the belief that he's King Jesus. There's coming a day when every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. We don't believe that anymore. He is able, Paul said, to subdue while he is in prison, in captivity, to Roman bondage. He says, he is able to subdue all things. I'm just waiting for him to do it. He's able to make everything opposed to him submit to him. There is a reckoning day, and far too many of us have believed the lie of the devil and the execution of it in the world, and we hide in our little corner because of it. We are to live by faith, even if we are harmed, as the Hebrew boys may have been in the process. They said, if it be so, where's those young people today? Where's those young people? 12, 13-year-old soldiers. Help me, Andrew, with this. West Virginia near, Market something field. Huh? No, the one, it's just a little, Battle of Market Field? New Market, Battle of New Market. Teenagers during war. And these kids were like this. You can't get somebody that age right now to get off their PlayStation. And watch this. He's on his PlayStation because dad, who's 40, is on his PlayStation. And they're not listening to the songs, Onward Christian Soldier. He's able to subdue. We believe the lie. The Bible says we're to live by faith even if we are harmed. The Hebrew boys may have been in the process, but they said, if it be so. It's a boldness the early believers had that we are sadly lacking today. He's able to subdue all things unto himself. Are you and I living that belief today in this hour? Or are we trusting a candidate who will make it all better? Next, he's able, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12, he's able to secure. The Bible says, Paul told Timothy this, for the which cause I also suffer things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded. I'm persuaded. I'm completely convinced, he says, that he is able. He's able to what? To keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. What we have in Christ isn't just some kind of promise that depends upon us keeping it. It is all about him. Paul knew and understood when he confessed Christ and his finished work at Calvary on his behalf that a process took place. He submitted to God by repentance and faith and entrusted God's ability to secure that. The word keep here means to watch, be on guard, preserve. In the midst, Paul said, of all things and people after me, he says, I'm persuaded, fully convinced that God is able to keep that which I have deposited unto him. Body, soul, and spirit. We've got people today more trusting in a bank deposit than they are their life that they gave to God. Old Testament believers, of which we read of their lives, place their lives into God's very hands. Think of Esther. If I perish, I perish. Where's that today? Where is that today? The church is in a bad state. If I perish, I perish. Where's the Esthers today? Moses endured seeing him who was invisible. Jochebed, I'm trying to think of Moses' dad. They what? Huh? I'm trying to think of his dad. What was it they did? They did not fear the king's commandments, but they hid Moses. I just butchered the scriptures. They hid him because they saw he was a proper child. This is a child of God. How many parents would bring their children to the altar? We're going to have some dedications here soon for some of these ones that haven't been dedicated. That isn't a religious ceremony. That's a mom and dad that are willing in a safe environment. A safe environment. Jochebed didn't have that environment. They were killing children. And they did not fear the king's commandments. And they saw that Moses was a proper child. And they put him in a basket of bulrushes and said, it ain't going to happen. And trusted. Can you imagine if that took place today? It is taking place today. There's parents all over the world feeding their kids to the crocodiles. Emily, would you like to stand up and give a testimony about Hannah's Hope and what you've seen our government system do? Throwing our children with willing parents into the Nile River so the crocodiles can eat them alive. Paul said he's able to subdue, he's able to secure. He said, I'm fully convinced. We've got people today more trusting in a bank deposit than their life that they gave God. Old Testament believers of which we read, their lives placed their lives in God's hands. The list could go on and on, yet they placed their lives in His control for safekeeping. Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, they rested in His ability to keep them. We either believe this of Him or we don't. And sadly, because so many don't, we have what we have today. Listen to this from Christ to a people in political and social unrest as He comes on the scene, John chapter 10, verse 22. He says, and it was at Jerusalem, the Feast of the Dedication. Jews are under submission to Roman, diabolical Roman leadership to the same extent that we are today. Willingly, senators living egregious lifestyles in Roman times. Just nasty, filthy lifestyles. And all of a sudden he says to this people, watch this. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch, those that were supposed to be leading others to God. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, how long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the... See, they wanted him to come to be king to conquer Rome. They didn't realize there was a gap in between. They were selfish in their desires. Then came the Jews round about and said unto him, how long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because you're not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is, he says it again, no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Let me ask you this and we'll move on. He's able to subdue. He's able to secure. Do you this morning trust that He is able to keep you from being plucked? Next, Paul tells us, watch this. This ought to be making folks shout. You either are struggling with the fact that you don't believe it and it's an old me, or you're fully persuaded as Paul was and you say amen. He's able, number three, to succor. Hebrews 2 and verse 18, for in that He Himself hath suffered being tempted, He's able to succor them that are tempted. The word succor simply means assistance and support in times of hardship and distress. If we don't have enough outside coming after us, we have as well forces working within us. Now you begin to understand all the references to fighting that are made in Scripture and the need for the armor of God. We that are believers and who know Him have a force working on our behalf. It is the indwelling presence of God manifested in the person of the Holy Spirit. We are a generation that has that. Moses didn't have the indwelling presence of the Spirit of God. Abraham didn't have that. We have that. And we still say to them Old Testament saints, the cloud of witnesses, we can't. Paul said this, was it from the Philippian jail? I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. He is able. Is He able? He is able to subdue. He's able to secure. He's able to succor. The indwelling presence of God, manifested in the person of the Holy Spirit, gives us the ability to assist and support us in times of hardship and distress. Do you know what takes place in most churches when a person hits hardship and distressful times? They don't come to church. Because you know what took place in their life? They believed the lie. What's the lie? He's not able. He can't fix that situation. He can't help that situation. You quit praying for it. You quit asking for it. And you just believe the lie. The lie that started in the garden is still happening today. It's a doubt. Did God say? Did he really say? It's a doubt on the word of God. He just creates a doubt. In this Bible either says what it says or it doesn't. He's able to succor. Going through something within. Is there a battle? There's a ton of stuff happening without. But within? If so, he's able to succor you and I. He gives us the ability by faith to trust him that he will aid us. We're not on our own trying to make the best of it. I'm not on my own today just trying to make the best of it. How you doing? I'm doing the best I can. How you making it? Well, I'm trying. Telling you what, just trying to stretch my paycheck from paycheck to paycheck. And well, this economy, and I'm just trying to do the best I can. We forgot that we have an ever able God that is more powerful. Do we really have to? We live by, one day we'll live by sight. But for now, the power is in walking by faith. And we get in congregational singing and we sing, living by faith and lying through our teeth. Lastly, Paul gives us this one, Hebrews 7 and verse 25. He's able. I'm not going to ask you, I hope you believe it today. I'm saying it to me. There's times when every one of these are challenged in my life. And I have to decide, is he able to subdue? Can he do this? Well, I just got this guy I work for, man, and he's just giving me a fit. I remember as a police officer, man, they all wanted me to be a Mason after I got saved. They all wanted me to get in the lodge after I got saved. And boy, I started coming to work with gospel tracts about how wicked the lodge was. Woo, they were upset. Boy, they wanted me gone. I remember praying in the restroom at headquarters. God, you got to do something. And if I lose my job, I lose my job. He's able to sue. He can drop anybody to their knees. Watch this, Nebuchadnezzar's eating grass later on. By the way, I don't know if anybody else saw that. The landscaping company that they had hired quit on them. So God says, I'm replacing that landscaping company with you. You're going to be chewing grass. See, we forget that anymore. We don't have a boldness and a confidence that he's going to subdue. He's going to secure. He's going to succor. Hebrews 7:25, wherefore he's able. What's that song? Where's that in the hymn book? Give me that number before we quit. Maybe we'll sing that one today. Remember that one we used to sing? The old timers used to sing, he is able. He's able. Oh boy. What is it? Give me the number. We're going to leave out of here with that one. Here we go. Here's the last one. He's able to what? Also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he what? Ever liveth to make intercession for them. If you're in here and you don't know Christ this morning, he's able to save you. And as you are in your unsaved state and condition, struggling with all the things that the believer is, but different that the believer has, he's able to do that, and he's praying for you to come to him. What a great one to close out on. He's able to save. The word save here means to save. That is, to deliver or protect, literally and or figuratively. You know why this world is scrambling and running after whatever? because they believe that is what will save them. And Paul tells us he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto him, come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. God is in heaven right now, right this moment. I understand that by the authority of the Word of God. And he is interceding on your behalf. A lot of people confuse that Jesus sits at the right hand of the Father. Here's my dissertation on that. The right hand is the hand of power. Jesus sits at the right hand of the Father. He is the power of God. Romans says this. Romans talks about the power of the gospel of God. He's sitting there. And as he's sitting there, he's making intercession. If you're in here this morning, you don't know Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, Jesus is at the right hand of the Father, interceding on your behalf. Whoever liveth, he's not dead. He's alive. Stalin's in a glass tomb and says he's going to come back. What a lie. Jesus is not in a tomb. It's an empty tomb. And he's at the right hand of the Father interceding, and he's able. I remember all the years of sin at 27 years of age when Rodney presented that to me. I said, Rodney, God can't save me. Because I had been taught a lie in a religious institution that there was things that you could do that God couldn't save you for. And I had done some things. Now all y'all are going, what'd he do? What'd he do? And Rodney took that fallacy and destroyed it. He said he's ever liveth to make intercession for you, and he wants you to be saved. And that's a hymn, or that's a story that we don't tell much anymore. And very few churches see people walk the aisle anymore, because they see the hand of the devil, who's the prince and power of the earth, more powerful than Jesus. And you know how they're going to see him, that he's able to save? By your testimony. That I once was lost, and now I'm found, was blind, and now I see. Father, we'd ask you to help us tonight. I even see in my own life, Lord, as I study this phrase out, areas in my life that you're not as big and powerful and able as the scriptures say. It's not the scriptures, it's me. Lord, help you. And thank you for helping me this week to see your ability. I, as a father, a grandfather, a pastor, can be taken, overtaken by things that take place. And it does seem like the powers to be seem so much more powerful. But Lord, you are able to subdue and succor and secure. Lord, it's been a couple years, but you're able to save. And thank you for doing that. Ask you to help us today in this day that we live in, that we can be more Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, and Daniel than a doubting Thomas. So help us this morning. If somebody in here doesn't know you as Savior, I pray you touch that one today, that one that doesn't believe you can help their situation and fix it and bring it under subjection. Just help us this morning, Lord. Help increase our faith. You demonstrate yourself to us daily, but we're so busy looking at so many other demonstrations of the power of this world that we don't see yours. So help us. I plead, do something special here this morning that we can see in the days to come. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's all stand.